Do you see a live?
We're good now.
Good evening, everyone. It is June 27th, 2022. This is the Grover Beach City Council. You will notice that we are having some technical difficulties this evening. So we have spoken with AGP, and we are going to give them some time to try and correct a fix with that. But I will do this as our call to order. And we will make adjustments in our agenda review in just a moment. This is our call to order. This meeting is available on channel 20, and it can be live streamed on www.slow-span.org. Those listening online can call in at 805-321-6639. So I will hold my moment of silence for a moment, but if you would all just join me and rise for the flag salute, please.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. So, Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller is absent. Councilmember Robert is absent. Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Here.
Mayor Lee.
Here. So we do have a quorum, and so we will proceed. Let me turn to our city attorney, see if there's any closed session announcements from prior meetings.
Council, as of this evening, no, we have no report outs.
Very good. Thank you for that. So that does take us to our agenda review, where at this time, as I did mention, we are having some technical difficulties. What I would propose in order to give AGP an opportunity to correct the situation, and I do apologize for those that are watching in and or in the chambers, I would like to make a modification to the agenda to put the closed session first. And then come back after we do have our closed session and then proceed with our regular agenda, which hopefully will be with a fully technically capable recording and meeting. So let's see if there's any discussion on that.
I'll make a motion if you're ready for that. I move that we accept the agenda as it is with the change of closed session beginning at the beginning rather than the end.
I'll say.
We'll do a roll call on that, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Very good. So that does take us to our closed session. So let me turn to our city attorney to announce that closed session, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We're about to convene in closed session for real property negotiations. The property is APN number 060546-011, and I'll make a note of the fact that, as published, the 54 actually was missing a digit, so it is 546. Agency negotiators will be Matt Bronson, city manager, Greg Wright, public works director, and David L., city attorney, negotiating parties. Mr. Piero Giuzzi, I guess is how you pronounce it. I'm not very good at Italian, which I assume it is. Under negotiations will be instructions to negotiators, which shall include price, terms of conditions related to terms of payment, and project-specific information related to the project affecting the price.
Very good. So let me see if there is anyone else in the public that want to speak on the closed session item before we recess the closed session. Seeing no one come forward, we will recess this meeting, proceed to closed session. Are we anticipating maybe 20, 25 minutes? So we will reconvene at 6:30 or later, if depending upon the time of the closed session takes.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. We shall return. Very good. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. I will reconvene our city council meeting on June 27th. We did proceed into closed session first, so let me turn to our city attorney and report out of closed session, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We have no reportable actions this evening from closed session.
Very good. Thank you, sir. That does take us to our ceremonial calendar, where we do have a proclamation for National Parks and Recreation Month. That's going to be read by Councilmember Rush, and here to accept that this evening is our Parks and Recreation Director, Ms. Pitcher.
Thank you. A proclamation of the City of Grover Beach City Council of the City of Grover Beach designating July as National Park and Recreation Month. Whereas parks and recreation programs are an integral part to communities throughout this county, including Grover Beach, and whereas our parks and recreation are vitally important to establishing and maintaining the quality of life in our communities, ensuring the health of all citizens, and contributing to the economic and environmental well-being of a community and a region, and whereas parks and recreation programs build healthy, active communities that aid in the prevention of chronic disease, provide therapeutic recreation services for those who are mentally or physically disabled, and improve the mental and emotional health of all citizens. And whereas parks and recreation programs increase a community's economic prosperity through increased property values, expansion of local tax base, increased tourism, the attraction and retention of businesses, and crime reduction. And whereas parks and recreation areas are fundamental to the environmental well-being of our community. And whereas parks and natural recreation areas improve water quality, protect groundwater, prevent flooding, improve the quality of the air we breathe, provide vegetative buffers to development, and produce habitat for wildlife. And whereas the U.S. House of Representatives has designated July as Parks and Recreation Month. And whereas the City of Grover Beach recognizes the benefits derived from parks and recreation resources, now therefore be it resolved that the City of Grover Beach City Council hereby officially recognizes the month of July as National Parks and Recreation Month in the City of Grover Beach.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you reading that. And as we continue with our technical difficulties, you will notice that Ms. Hector and Mr. Almashot have a handheld microphone, so the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor.
Can you hear me? Thank you, Mayor and Council members. Kathy Fetcher, Parks and Recreation Director. We are very honored this time of year to be able to receive this proclamation, and very proud of all the programs and parks. And we are very proud of all of our programs and parks that we offer for the City of Grover Beach. We have offerings for preschool programs all the way up to adult programs. We have the summer concert series that's very popular, and hopefully you and people in the public are able to attend every Sunday, June, July, and August at Ramona Park. We have live music for the community. It's been great knowing that everything that we do in the department allows people to get to know their neighbors and make new friends and build community here in Grover Beach. And I'd like to introduce our chair of the Parks and Recreation and Beautification Commission, Jeff Almashot, and he would like to say a couple words.
I'd just like to say thank you, and it's an honor to serve with this wonderful staff and the other four wonderful commissioners that do this work, and thank you for this recognition and the proclamation.
Very good. Thank you so much. So, any comments to my right?
I just want to thank you and our Parks and Rec Commission for all the good work that you're doing, bringing us forward with new place structures and new places and ways for people to enjoy their lives here in Grover Beach. So thank you very much.
Testing? Okay.
I'll use my big boy voice. You know, the amount of work that Parks and Rec does is awesome. the fact that we have our summer concert series back in full-fledged. I mean, every single week I see thousands of people out there. First one was nearly 2,000, so awesome. The amount of work that y'all do is amazing and scheduled throughout the year, be it our holiday parade, pumpkin carving contest. I think we're going to be talking about something else in a minute, so I'll leave it at that. But thank you again for all the work you do.
Very good. Yes, thank you. And thank you to Madison and to Tammy as well, as and to all the Parks and Rec commissioners. I am always happy to say that before I was on the council, I was a member of Parks and Rec and a chair of that commission. So it is a great place to learn about the city and to become enamored with what we do and how best we can do it and can kind of continue that service through the city. So thank you for that. And if we'd like to do a photo, if you like.
I can take it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think we can try something again.
Apparently they can hear me so bad.
Is the podium on green?
No, that's the podium. But apparently the goal says they can hear us so bad.
Thank
you. Yeah. It just doesn't leak.
And for our next ceremonial item, you will recognize Ms. Kathy Petker coming forward again as we bring forward a certificate of appreciation for our Spring Garden Tour participants. So, Ms. Petker, good to see you again. Thank you for participating and for organizing the Spring Garden Tour.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. We are very happy to be able to recognize all of the homes that opened up for the Spring Garden Tour this year. It was wonderful. We had five beautiful gardens throughout the city, and all of the zones were covered. And we did invite all of the homeowners. And unfortunately, they weren't able to attend. And I don't believe there's any in the audience unless they showed up. But we did let them know. And we did let them know that we would hand deliver their certificates. And I know that Councilmember Bright's been on the committee before in selecting gardens and assisting with the program in the past. And it's just wonderful. Another event that brought neighbors together and being able to canvas the city and look at all the beautiful work that people.
Very good. Definitely. Thank you for that. I got a chance to visit all five of the homes this year, and just amazing what people are doing. I think a lot of people had time during the pandemic, and they really used that time to improve and beautify their yards, their residences, and just kind of make it a place for each of them to hopefully rest and relax and recreate in their yard. So let's see if there's any comments to my right. Very good. Then I'll say thank you. But I did want to just acknowledge the recipients this year. So we do have Jeannie McManners, as well as Dorothy Shanahan, Marianne Stafford, Daryl and Linda Voth, as well as John and Valerie McGill. So each of them opened up their homes, and we're so very appreciative of the work that they've done, the camaraderie and the ability for them to say yes to the community to come in and to appreciate what they had done with each of their homes. So thank you for that, and I'll return these to the city clerk so that you can make sure that you get them to the correct people.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for that. So we don't have any presentations this evening, so that does take us to public communications, where at this time the council will allow public communications with additional comments, if necessary, allowed after the regular business items. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. We will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot act on items that are not on tonight's agenda. So I do have a couple speaker slips, and I will invite folks to call in at 805-321-6639 for public comment. So my first speaker slip is Ms. Brenda Auer.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can I get closer? All right. Okay. Wasn't planning on being here in person, but we had a little delay with getting the session going, so I thought I would come down and visit y'all. Thank you for your time this evening. I'm Brenda Auer. I'm a resident of Grover Beach. I'm owner-broker of Auer Real Estate. And I come to here with a plea. I see there's very few people here. I don't know. There's three other people that are not part of the presentations tonight. But I ask my fellow property owners to come down and get as involved as they can. I also ask that Grover Beach does the right thing. First, the use of marijuana riches to stop fentanyl. Please use the marijuana riches to stop the fentanyl problem we have in the city, which has increased with the marijuana stores opening. Second, I ask, please use the marijuana riches to fix the streets and relieve the taxpayers of this burden. Third, please be aware that most nonprofit groups' monies go to administration that's running them. We all know it's our churches here who feed the local homeless and with very little compensation while the nonprofits benefit. A couple years ago, a council member stated that they had to question their moral compass making decisions on the board. Currently, building a new city hall with marijuana riches is not needed at this time. It is not up to the council to decide where the riches go. Please hear the people. We want infrastructure and immediate needs, not supplying contractors with unnecessary jobs. As a real estate agent, we make a promise to be honest. Should be everyone's golden rule. I expect that from our city officers. I also request that other agents step up with their voice and help do what's right for their clients. In 2013, the city was almost bankrupt because of misappropriation of money. According to Debbie Peters, the previous mayor's new book, The Happiest Corruption, Sleaze, Lies, and Suicide in a California Beach Town, the misappropriation of money continues. In 2010, I spoke at an Oceano Community Service District meeting. When I returned home, I received a phone call with a threat to my life. I shut up. Now my kids are grown, and I've sold over 500 homes in the area. Property owners have a voice, and I speak for many of them today. Our quiet beach town has taken on a drug environment, gaining off everyone, which must be addressed. Finally, one item, that $400,000 plus that's on tonight's agenda. Why is so much money being spent on researching how to improve Grover Beach, make it beautiful? How about using those funds to correct the drainage at the train station, which has been done incorrectly? Might be Caltrans, but Grover had an input on this. It'll save us from future lawsuits. Or take that money and put it into our law enforcement to monitor what's going on in our city. There are two members which I personally encourage to be on the council. I ask you now to take a look at these issues in depth. Keep the council honest. I heard a member once say, these papers, there's just too much for me to read. It's boring. The meetings are boring. I didn't read the papers. We're on a vacation area, and it's easy to slide things by out of the area property owners who do not vote here. Important to have community involvement. Please, could we possibly get a forensic audit to answer some of the questions that are addressed in this book? I thank you and thank everyone who helps me pick up trash in the area. And again, I plead that our other people that own property will get involved. I know it's hard, it's frustrating, and it is a little boring. But if we don't get involved, someone else is going to make those important decisions for us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. So my last speaker slip is Sylvia Bauer.
Sylvia Boyer. I'm a citizen of Grover Beach and a homeowner in Grover Beach. My concern is the 4th of July, where the police department is going to be using drones to be monitoring the city. And as much as I understand, illegal fireworks are very dangerous. They've caused fires in the past, that the police have, a very dangerous job to do. Drones are an invasion of our privacy. We have cameras on all our streets. Everyone has a Ring camera these days. We have our neighbors who will report on us. We don't need drones flying above our streets to surveillance. I believe that this has already been approved, so it's already happening, but my concern is further usage of drones. We have property rights. Police are not allowed to go onto our property unless they have a warrant. And just flying over our property is kind of overstepping, I think, those laws. Even people having personal drones is annoying. I've had people fly over my property for personal drones or following me along the street. It's not okay. It's not okay. So that's just, I would like to know a little bit more on how these drones are going to be used and have a little bit more regulation. I did read through it. It looks like they're not supposed to be going on the public property, but I don't really know how they're going to be helping crime if people are setting off illegal fireworks on their property. So they're not going to be able to see anything. There's going to be smoke everywhere. So really, what are they using it for? Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Boyer. I apologize for saying your name incorrectly the first time. But thank you for your comments. Let me see if there's anyone else in the audience that wants to come forward and speak under public communication. Seeing no one else come forward, let me turn to our city clerk, see if there's anyone online, and there is not. So, Chief, if I could have you come forward and just kind of provide a little bit of context to Ms. Boyer's questions regarding the use of the drones this weekend.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and community. So the use of the drones, first of all, let me start by saying that all of our pilots are regulated by the FAA. They take a test. They take all the classes. And our program has a bunch of regulations within it that stipulate how the drones can be used. They're not to be used to fly over and hover over people's properties unless criminal activity is afoot and there's probable cause to be there. So the drones and what we're planning on doing on the 4th of July is we have a 5-person team that will be out and supervised by a sergeant. The operators of the drones will have the drones flying upwards of 400 feet in the air, so you really can't, you're not hovering over any particular yard or home. And from that vantage point, they can see where fireworks are coming up and actually direct officers to those locations. And we will have three officers on the street, the sergeant and then two officers. They'll be utilizing both unmarked and marked vehicles, so they'll be driving in the areas where the drone sees the illegal fireworks. We, from the previous years, we have information on where a lot of the illegal firework activity is occurring and is consistently occurring. So we will be focusing in those areas and flying the drones in those areas. And so when a drone is up above that high and it can fireworks come up, it can take just a couple of seconds for it to focus on that firework and look down at the street or find out where that firework is coming. The discharge of a firework is illegal. It's actually a misdemeanor, so an illegal firework. So it is a crime that is occurring, and we are investigating that crime. That does allow us to fly over where crime is occurring. So if there is a discharge of illegal fireworks from private property, we do have the legal authority to be hovering over and watching that crime occur or enforcing that criminal activity. Otherwise, drones are utilized just like officers in the field. They do need probable cause to be looking into vehicles or looking into homes or looking onto property. So without that, they won't be doing that. They're just flying 400 feet in the air, looking down at what is coming up into the sky towards the drone's direction. So that's how we plan on utilizing that.
Very good. Thank you, Chief. And if you could, just spend a quick moment explaining kind of what a drone can do at the scene of a traffic accident. I know there's typically mapping and there's typically photos that are taken. So what is a drone going to be able to be utilized for in that situation?
Sure. I'll give you a rundown of basically what are drones and the classifications we have. We have multiple drones right now. We have the minis, which our officers are able to carry in the patrol car with them. And the minis are utilized for if there's a burglary alarm or some other, a break into a residence or a storefront, the officers, instead of the officers going in first, we can launch a drone through the door, through the window, and actually search the house looking for the intruder that's in there. And that prevents the confrontation between officer and intruder. The drones can actually transmit a message for the person to give up and come outside. And then if they refuse to do so, then the officers will go in and take direction from there. A little larger drones that we have are ones that can fly in a little heavier winds that we tend to see in the afternoon here. But those have infrared capabilities, and night vision capabilities. They've been used already to search the coastline. We had a report of two people over the cliffs in Pismo Beach, and the drone was there within 5 minutes. The helicopter took 45 minutes. So the drone was able to actually determine whether or not people were actually falling into the ocean. Drones similar to that size will measure car crash scenes or crime scenes from the air. And what our system is that we do right now takes about 4 to 5 hours to measure a fatality car crash scene. And in that process, none of the evidence can move. Nothing can move, and the road stays closed for many hours. With the drone, the anticipated time with the software program and the measuring devices that the drone has, it should take us anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes to measure that scene. So it really will help us clear the scene a lot faster, get our evidence, as well as open up the roadways. And then the drone that we're using on the 4th of July is the largest drone that we have, and that's the one that can fly at higher elevations, and also it does have night vision, and it has two-way radio communications. It can actually talk to people on the ground, give messages for evacuations or clearing of areas. If we had a tsunami or some earthquake or anything like that, it can help with those processes.
Great. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate that. Let me see if there's any questions.
Yes, sir.
Any additional questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. Very good. So thank you for the explanation. So I know our police officers and our entire staff do a good job of protecting people's privacy while using technology to do what needs to be done. So I definitely appreciate your comments, Ms. Boyer, and Chief, thank you for keeping the community safe and for doing what so many people have asked us to do throughout the years to try and curb and or eliminate the use of illegal fireworks in Grover. So thank you very much. So with that, that does take us to our consent agenda. We do have a number of items this evening that are considered routine this evening. So let me see if there's any questions to my left of anything on the consent agenda.
No.
To my right?
No. All answered. Thank you.
Very good. So then with that, I will go ahead and open this up to the public, see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on the consent agenda this evening. Seeing no one come forward, let me check with our city clerk. There's no one on the line for public comment, so I'll bring it back to the council for consideration.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
And I will second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. And before we do that, I did have a quick comment on the budget. So it is an approval this evening. It is a very robust budget, but it is also a very economical budget with respect to the services that we provide and a good use of the funding that we receive as a city. So we do not take any of those revenues lightly, because we do this work on behalf of the city and its residents and the businesses. And so we do prudently plan accordingly for those services and utilize the monies that are available, that we are very appreciative of that. And then one of the items also is construction of the next phase of a K-14 program. So we continue that work, as well as a major street improvement program coming forward. So lots of very good work that we will continue to do on behalf of the city. And with that, Ms. Sims, a roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Councilmember Miller is absent. Councilmember Robert is absent. Mayor Lee?
Yes. So we do have an approved consent agenda, and I am going to take mayor's prerogative momentarily. Oh, I'm sorry, that does take us to our public hearings. I apologize. And so our first public hearing this evening Our only public hearing this evening is item number 12, which is a second reading and adoption of an ordinance amending Chapter 2 for compensation purposes and Article 2 administration purposes of the Grover Beach Municipal Code to add insurance benefits. And I'll turn to our Deputy City Manager, Ms. Erickson, for the staff report.
Thank you, Mayor Lee and members of the council. Tonight, we're here to do our second reading and adoption, as you said, of an ordinance to add health insurance benefits to council compensation. Just a little bit of background on this process. Up until December of 2018, council members made $600 per month as a stipend, and the mayor made $750 per month. That was December 2018 to present. In May, your council adopted an ordinance to raise that compensation to $720 per month for council members and $900 per month for the mayor. At the same time, your council provided staff direction to also include health insurance benefits for council members and their dependents. We took a look at other cities in the county to make a comparison, and it does appear that all other cities do provide health benefits to council members, and most of them match management employee contributions at some level, really just varying in respect to how many dependents are covered. This ordinance that staff is bringing before you today would allow council members to receive benefits equal to that of the city's management and confidential employees, as well for their dependents should they select that. That means the city would contribute anywhere from $640 to $1,640 monthly for the council members for their insurance coverage, and any costs in addition to that would be paid by the member. So our annual cost is up to $98,000, a little over. But that would assume that all members of the council elect coverage at its fullest extent, and we don't anticipate that that is likely going to be the case. However, we do think that this will be able to be absorbed in our operating budget, and for fiscal year 22-23, we anticipate will be half of that cost. And so our recommendation today is to conduct this hearing and adopt the ordinance to include health benefits for council members or provide staff alternative direction. And I am available for any questions you have.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Erickson, for that report. Let me see if there's any questions to my left.
No questions.
Questions to my right.
No, thank you.
And I did not have any questions either. So let me open this public hearing up. Did I say that correctly? Let me open up the public hearing and see if there's any members of the public that want to come forward and speak on this item. Seeing no one come forward, let me check with our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line. There is not, so I will go ahead and close the public hearing, bring it back to the council for consideration. Any comments, or who's ready?
We started this process not really sure whether or not we wanted to jump in with this, but I think our council had a really awesome idea in this process that, especially with the fact that our city is moving into districts at this point, that this can be an impressive carrot to help encourage members of Grover Beach to become more involved in this process and to put themselves out there for future elections in the district process that we have. And it's going to be a different process for our city. So I look forward to seeing how it all works, but I really do hope that this is just a little push that brings more people into Grover Beach politics. That's about it right there. Thank you.
Very good. I just want to reiterate what Councilmember Rushing mentioned in the fact that as I've gone through my term of service, one of the things that has always been represented to me is that we're effectively, and this is a bad way to say this, but we're effectively volunteering as our community service. And we do get paid a small stipend, but there is folks who do need or do would need the opportunity to have health care in order to be able to serve on the council. And I was initially reticent to be supportive of this, but as we did go forward and we had the discussion, I am now supportive in seeing the benefits of health insurance, especially as we bring forward and come forward in conformance with effectively all other cities that do this. This won't affect my term, as I am done in November, but I do hope that it will entice and encourage folks to participate in their city. So with that, who's ready for a motion?
All right. I would like to move that we adopt an ordinance to amend Chapter 2, Compensation of Article 2, Administration of the Grover Beach Municipal Code regarding council health benefits.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. And before we do that, I do want to acknowledge Councilmember Miller for bringing this forward. And it's unfortunate that she's not able to be here this evening, but I know that she would be happy as we move forward with this. So notwithstanding the city manager trying to make some comments there, who has passed the microphone over to our city clerk for a roll call, please.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Miller is out. Councilmember Robert is absent. Mayor Lee.
Yes. So we do have an approved ordinance for second reading, and that does take us to our regular business this evening. As a quick reminder, if you do want to call in for public comment, please do so at 805-321-6639. And that brings us to item number 13, where we have consideration of ground lease with Five Cities Homeless Coalition for homeless housing facility use at city-owned property at 955 South 4th Street. Mr. Bronson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. Good evening. The item before you is approval of a ground lease that has been negotiated between city staff and Five Cities Homeless Coalition for use as a homeless housing facility at 955 South 4th Street, which has been recently acquired by the city as a future space for this use. So let's start off with some background information. As the council is aware, housing and homelessness is one of our major city goals. The city has taken a number of actions, both in terms of enforcement efforts at homeless encampment areas, providing additional services and housing where we can, and hearing from the county about the importance of providing more shelter space across the area. Homelessness is a significant community issue across our entire county, and one of the challenges is there is no shelter space in South County for homeless individuals to go as a transition to help find more permanent housing. Back in March, the council approved a property acquisition to purchase vacant land at 955 South 4th Street for use as a homeless housing facility that would be developed over time by the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. We did use ARPA funding, American Rescue Plan Act money, roughly $425,000 of one-time money came from the federal government that we applied towards this purchase, consistent with our housing and homelessness major city goal. The intent, as expressed back in March, was that the city would turn around and develop a long-term ground lease with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. We would not be in the position of building a facility ourselves. That's not our line of business. We would, in turn, work with our service provider here in South County for them to develop and operate a facility under stringent regulations and protocols identified by the city to ensure the safety of those who are at the facility and safety of those who are around. The development of the site as a temporary emergency shelter of some type not only provides more spaces where none exists today, but also provides additional enforcement options that the city currently does not have. Under the Boise case law, we cannot enforce our camping ordinances at public properties, given that we have no shelter space in South County, and there is no designated public space for people to go to and camp. So that is our limitation. The council is well aware of those enforcement challenges. We face those on a daily basis in the interactions we have on a number of different encampments across our area. It's a challenge that we continue to face. So the property is roughly just under a half acre total, again, 955 South 4th Street, right between South 4th Street and Barca Street. It is zoned coastal industrial and is included in the emergency shelter overlay zone that is part of our housing element. So it is within this general area of the city that is in such a zone. It is adjacent to our future Central Coast Blue Water Treatment Facility, which is the regional groundwater sustainability project that will be located just across Barca Street, between Barca and Huber. So right across Barker, the southern end of that site will be the facility that's currently in final design and permitting mode right now. And that gave us some additional interest in addition to helping create housing space where none exists in South County currently. This provides an opportunity to create a utility easement, as we need to run piping to and from the Central Coast Blue facility over to the trunk line along South 4th Street. We need to run effluent into the CCB space, and we need to run water out of the CCB facility that is then injected into the groundwater basin as part of Central Coast Blue, and also dealing with what's called brine, which is a byproduct of the whole process that also goes into the trunk line and then ultimately out the ocean outfall. All that's complicated, way beyond my knowledge point as a city manager, but just to know that we have to have piping that helps serve the facility through this easement in this adjacent property. We did receive clearance from the state of California that this acquisition, this ground lease, this future use was not subject to the Surplus Land Act that the state has defined for surplus public property. As in essence, until March, this was not public property. This was vacant land that the city stepped in and acquired for the intent of a future homeless housing facility. So the provisions of the lease are included in the staff report. They're included in the attachment, and I'll highlight them here as well. And I do want to take a moment and acknowledge Ken Dalebout, the board chair of the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, and thank Ken and his team for very thoughtful, diligent negotiations over the last few months. Of course, I recognize our city attorney, Dave Hale, who is our lead in the negotiations. With a partner agency, the negotiations are thoughtful, comprehensive, and built on the belief of trust and support for one another, making sure that both the city's interests and the coalition's interests are met through this process. And the lease before you does achieve that, both in staff's perspective and I believe in the coalition's perspective, as echoed in the letter that they sent to the council. So just highlighting briefly key terms, 55 years is the lease term, which is the maximum length allowed under state law for this use. There's a general project description that's in place right now that talks about non-congregate temporary housing. The idea is that this would be potentially something of similar to the cabins project that's being built as we speak at 16th and Long Branch, small standalone units. It could be larger units. It could be some combination of different housing types that provides different abilities to help serve our homeless population, including youth and families, which is part of our unhoused population as well. Those are details that will be worked out and will be done so with input from those around the property as well as from the city and other parties. We do have some stipulations around time frames. Part of this process is trusting one another, but also putting in some performance milestones along the way so that the community was moving forward and receiving these additional services and uses. So within 12 months of the effective date, construction must commence on the site. Financing must be obtained to begin the work of building a facility here. And then within 24 months of commencement, the construction needs to be complete. So those are performance milestones in place. The city will work diligently with the coalition on that process, pending your adoption this evening, to make sure those milestones are kept in place. That said, there is an ability by the coalition to back out within a 12-month period if they can't secure necessary financing or there are permitting difficulties, which from a city standpoint, we certainly would work very diligently to make sure the permitting part of that was not a challenge. There's an annual rent of $1 per year, which is consistent with a typical community service use. City is not in the business of making significant money from the site. We're in the business of trying to help our community deal with one of the toughest issues we're facing as a community. So $1 a year is appropriate in staff's perspective. This would be consistent with prevailing wage laws at this time, and then also all the taxes, utility bills, all the financial assessments would be borne by the coalition under this lease. Speaking of that, the coalition would be required to obtain insurance on the improvements and take care of all the maintenance on the property. There is a utility easement of 28 feet that's reserved for the CCB piping that I described a moment ago. And this is a target that is still somewhat in flux. We believe 28 feet is an appropriate reservation of the easement width that we need right now. That being said, we will continue to work with our project designers at Central Coast Blue and with the state of California to see if we can narrow the width required between the different piping units so that perhaps 28 feet could be 26 feet, 24 feet, or some figure that allows us to meet state requirements and provide an easement that allows the coalition to still have sufficient use of the property. So we've had good discussions with the coalition on this point, and we'll continue to work on this, but 28 feet is what staff believes is an appropriate width at this time. There are only temporary structures allowed over the easement. What the city does not wish to see is a permanent facility with a foundation built over a utility easement. That doesn't address the issues of having to do maintenance or having to do emergency work. So we would require only temporary structures, such as a cabin, a restroom facility, maybe a playground, or a parking lot, some kind of facility that could be easily accessed as part of this site. And then after 1 year of facility operation, the coalition does have the right to purchase the property. That is something that the coalition put forth as a key interest, and we respect that interest and believe that after 1 year of operation, to see how the facility operates, to make sure it's done in a safe, responsible manner that is serving its clients, the coalition would have the ability to purchase the property from the city for $1 at the purchase price. So that is something that is built into this agreement. So the recommendation from staff is to approve the ground lease for this 55-year term to allow the coalition to continue the site development work. This is one milestone of many. The first step was the property acquisition. Second step is the ground lease, which provides the property interest for the coalition. The next step is to seek grant funding applications to help fund the facility, and then to also develop the site. There's a lot of work that has to be done in developing the site, making sure that they work with us on necessary safety and security arrangements, like we've done with the coalition and the county for the property at 16th and Long Branch. There's a lot of provisions that will go into place to make sure that it is a well-secured, well-maintained, and accessible facility for all. So that will come forward, and the city will work very diligently with the coalition to make sure those interests and requirements are met. Staff also recommending council authorize city manager to finalize and execute the agreement in substantial conformance with the agreement. So if there were some details, such as the 12-month time frame for commencing construction needed to be 14 months, we would have the ability to work that out with the coalition and not have to come back to council for every single detail that has to be worked out. If 12 months became 3 years, that's not in substantial conformance, and we'd come back to the council for your amendment to that. But this gives staff and the coalition some flexibility in working through some final details with this agreement. Like I mentioned, this approval would allow the coalition to really kick off the site development process and give them the property interest ability to do so. And then lastly, we would anticipate bringing an item back to the council this fall to consider applying for state home key grant money, which is a significant source of funding from the state of California towards building housing facilities for low-income homeless individuals all around California. And this could be a significant funding source for this project going forward. So that staff is here for any questions or comments, and I believe Mr. Dalebout can speak further to this project as well.
Very good. Thank you for that presentation. Let's see if there's any questions to my right.
Yes, please. Thank you. My question actually is in reference to the ARPA funding and those guidelines. I believe that we had a public speaker who had alluded to the fact that we should use these monies differently for street repair or whatever. Would you mind just kind of talking about ARPA funding and what, in fact, we are able to use those funds for?
Sure, I'd be glad to. First, on the topic of ARPA funding and street repairs, they cannot be used for street repairs. The only infrastructure that can be funded through ARPA funding our water projects, sewer projects, and broadband infrastructure. And while we've used some of the money this current year on sewer projects, we did not have funding needs for water projects. And with our K-14 funding and general fund dollars for street improvements, we've had significant general fund dollars this year on street improvements. We did not need to use ARPA funding to consider in that area, again, which is not required, not allowed under the law. ARPA funding does have a number of different uses, and the council has been clear in its priorities on ARPA funding. Homelessness has been a key funding use of our ARPA dollars, not only with the property acquisition, but also helping to provide funding for services to help address homeless challenges. And then over this next year, we're also looking at some funding being used for the operation of this facility once it gets off the ground later on. So ARPA dollars, as defined by your council, have really been focused on helping those in need, particularly those who are underserved in our community.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
That's it. Thank you.
Questions to my left?
No, sir.
Very good. I did just have one question, and you did mention this kind of during your presentation, but I'm hoping you can kind of add some additional context to the permitting process and what kind of outreach the coalition will do and or the city planning department will do during the course of that. Obviously, this is a step in a rather lengthy process, as you mentioned. So if you could just say indicate what permits would be necessary for development of the property.
Sure, I'd be glad to. And also our senior planner, Rafael Castillo, is here as well and can speak to the permitting process. But since this isn't a coastal zone, we do need a coastal development permit to be issued for the site. And there is a noticing process for 100 feet, I believe, around the said property. And there is substantial input that will be gained from both the coalition and the city in this process. And perhaps I can let Mr. Dilbout speak to that in his comments here in a moment. But this is the first step of many. This is not the development application. This is not the development plan. This is the ground lease that gives the coalition the ability to move forward into developing a site that provides shelter space that we don't have now, in a way that is compatible with the surrounding area and provides safety and security and accessibility. That's important.
Very good. Definitely appreciate that. So with that, let me open this up to public comment. And I did want to invite Mr. Dalebout to come forward on behalf of the coalition and speak. And then I do have a speaker slip after that. So Mr. Dalebout, so we will get you a microphone. As we are having some technical difficulties this evening, so we have a transportable microphone for you to use tonight.
Thank you. Is this on?
I believe it is active, yes.
Okay. So, Mayor Lee, so on behalf of the Five Cities Homeless Coalition Board, the staff, leadership, and our clients, we are very, very, very grateful that you have been willing to work with us. In some ways I say us, but really this is our community to provide these services, to purchase the land, and now to entertain the ground lease on the terms that have been outlined. This ground lease is a step toward the development of a non-permanent. There is still a lot of work to be done to define what that is, what's the best project that meets the needs of the city and the community and the neighborhood and all those things. That is yet to be finalized. We also are grateful for the willingness and collaboration that we built with city staff as we've gone through this process. And so we're, Mr. Bronson talked about trust, and it is definitely felt that we have a trusting relationship and we're going to be able to work this out together. With the action tonight, it really does allow us now to move forward in terms of seeking funding, to define what the project is. And we look forward to that interactive process. I will say, no matter what the project is, the benefit of having an organized program is that anybody that comes into any of the homeless programs are under case management. So these are not street homeless that come and go. This program, whatever will be, will have the participants being case managed, meaning they commit to a certain set of goals and work toward that. And if they can't perform on those goals, then they're out of the program, and somebody who is willing to participate is. This program, no matter what, is a transition, transitioning somebody from homelessness to permanent housing. And so that obviously helps the community in multiple ways. It's important to realize that the 5CHC has no commercial product. Our clients do not, we don't sell anything, and our clients don't pay rent. And so this is truly outreach to the community, and it will need to be funded through other sources than a commercial enterprise. And so once again, we appreciate the collaboration that the city has brought forward to allow us, whatever funding we have, to put together, to be put toward operations of the project. And with that, I conclude. I appreciate the opportunity, and like I say, this really is the first step, or maybe call it the second step, but there's more that needs to be done, but I appreciate the support of the city.
Very good. Thank you for your comments. I did want to ask you a quick question, if you don't mind. Realizing that you, as the 5Cs Homeless Coalition, are in development for a property for non-congregate care, can you give us a glimpse of operationally what security methods or efforts you intend to put into place at that location that could be utilized at this new location?
So it's a detail. So I can't necessarily say that this is the commitment. But in all of our shelter operations, the warming shelter and thinking about Long Beach, Long Branch, there is a paid security personnel that oversees it. I think he also, in these projects, there are regulated hours. There's also behavior issues that people have to commit to. People always talk about drug use. Well, there's no drug use in the project. And so I'd say a lot of the negative perceptions of these kind of services are mitigated through this case management. It's not perfect, but there is a commitment by the participants to let us know.
Great. Thank you very much. Let me see if there's any additional questions for you to my right.
No, thank you.
To my left?
No, sir.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Let me continue with public comment on this item. I do have a speaker slip from Daniel Arnott. So, Arnott. Sorry. I apologize. I was debating with that as I was reading that. So.
Our writing congregation. Good evening. My name is Daniel Arnott. I'm the owner of Toy Works Automotive, 983 South 4th Street, and CNS Industrial Coatings, which is right next door. We're, of course, the building is going to be attached to this project. I don't know what to really say yet, because I still don't know what's really going on with this whole thing. I'm kind of disappointed in everyone being found out about this by watching the news. Kind of expected somebody would, pop in and say, hey, we're thinking of doing this right next door to you. It would be kind of nice to meet people that way instead of by seeing me on the news. So just wanted to kind of come and convey my disappointment there, and hopefully going forward, there's not a lot of stuff being pulled over, and we went through all this with the marijuana stuff, and it ruined our area down there, in my opinion. We lost a lot of really good businesses, a lot of friends had to leave and move out of town. And I just hope this goes a lot better. That's all I would say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for those comments. So let me see if there's anyone else in the audience that wants to speak on this item.
We've got Jana Nichols on the phone.
Okay. Very good. So not seeing anybody else in the audience, we do have Ms. Nichols on the line. So, and we'll have Ms. Ratena.
Jana? Hello?
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Arndt has already spoken. So, is there anything that you wanted to share, Ms. Nichols?
No, I'm sorry. I'm here from our board president, so I'm mainly here to answer any additional questions you might have.
Very good. So one question which perhaps you can elaborate on, Mr. Dalebout did mention the operational consideration. So perhaps with respect to public outreach, as the project continues to move forward, potentially from a city side, we'll have outreach. What outreach does the coalition typically do as you begin to put together plans for development?
Well, initially, of course, we're going to be meeting with the city itself to address priorities it may have. We're also awaiting the results of the most recent point-in-time count and adoption of the drafted homeless plan, countywide homeless plan, that is before the county currently. I think those three things will help guide some of the discussion of where the priorities need to be with regard to different service levels, etc. I think then the next process obviously is going to engage our neighbors as we begin the development plan of what that might look like, whether it's transitional housing, whether it's emergency housing, whether it's a family shelter, etc. Obviously, we want to take into account concerns about the neighborhood and address some of those concerns similarly to what we're planning at the cabin project at 16th and Long Branch. And then beyond that, I think the next step is really operational in terms of what the services necessary are based on the demographic that we're trying to serve. And then obviously creating some operational plans and funding source. So the initial step is really in looking at where we're going from the priority standpoint of really what target population is going to be best served by this location, and then bringing it down from there.
Very good. So perhaps, and I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time to ask this question, but you did mention outreach to your neighbors. Can we, as a city, kind of take that as a commitment that you'll work with not just Toy Works to the south, but also your neighbors to the north, with the city and Barca being your neighbor to the east. But realizing that there's an opportunity to craft a project with your neighbor input, is that a fair request of the coalition?
I think we lost her.
I'll say yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dalebout. I appreciate that. So thank you. Let me turn back to our city clerk to see if there's anyone else on the line for public comment.
No.
Mr. Ray. Okay. I have not closed public comment, so if you do want to come forward, please do.
I just want to say, after the news was there, I spoke to the woman that was just on the phone, and she said, I've been meaning to come by and see you. I'm going to come by next week. I don't have any business cards on me, but I'm going to come in and talk to you. That was a month ago. So just an FYI, we still feel left out in the cold with communication when she promised she was going to come by and talk to us about this. So
definitely appreciate those comments. Mr. Dalebout, perhaps you can exchange information. So very good. So let's see if there's any other members of the public that want to speak on this item. Seeing no one else come forward, let's bring it back for comment and consideration.
Well, first of all, I am very pleased with how thorough staff and all were regarding the lease agreement. I think that every box I could think of has been checked in that respect. And so basically I just appreciate all your time, everyone's, to get it to this point. And I do hope that we can, that we will see more public interaction and you know where we are if it doesn't happen. Thank you.
I'll echo a bit of the Mayor Pro Tem sentiments there, but also wanted to just say that I'm really excited that we're at this phase, but I think we all, everybody in this room, has a sense that this is just the beginning of where the hard work is. There's a lot of design, there's a lot of outreach, there's a lot of communication that's going to need to happen over the months that are coming. So our decision right now is basically saying, okay, let's move forward with this, let's work with the community, let's work toward this communal goal. And I look forward to seeing that happen. Thank you.
Very good. And I'll echo my colleagues' comments and do say that, yes, this is a step. And thank you for coming forward this evening and realizing that we do need to do a more robust job of public outreach, especially to the immediate neighbors and to the community. So with that, it looks like the city manager would like to add some additional comment.
Nope.
Okay. Very good, then. Who's ready for consideration?
So I move that we approve a ground lease agreement with Five Cities Homeless Coalition to develop and operate a homeless housing facility use and authorize city manager to finalize and execute the agreement in substantial conformance to the terms in the approved agreement.
And I second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second, so I'll turn to our city clerk for a roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Councilmember Miller is absent. Councilmember Robert is absent. Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So we do have approval of that item this evening, so we do have some an opportunity, I think, to have some additional conversations, and we'll look forward to having those conversations in the foreseeable future. So. With that, that does take us to item number 14, a resolution establishing a citywide governance policy. And it looks like this goes towards our Deputy City Manager, Ms. Erickson.
Yeah, thank you again, Mayor Lee. Here to talk to your council today about establishing a citywide governance policy. As you know, earlier this year, your council adopted four districts for district elections of council members. And those are seen there in that map. In November will be our first election as a city with district elections for districts 1 and 2. Districts 3 and 4 will then switch to district elections in 2024. And so we thought this was a good time to bring before your council a citywide governance policy. The purpose behind this is to unite the council as one governing body for the entire community and making sure the needs of the entire community are considered by the council as a whole. Also to assist all community members, so no matter where they reside, they can reach out to any one of the council members, regardless of district. And then we would want to continue the current governance structure of a council, city manager form of government, and of course budget on a citywide basis, and having then the same practices for invitations to events and appointments to various bodies for the council. And this is very similar to other cities that we've seen that have adopted similar policies. For example, the city of Santa Maria, the city of Concord, and the city of Santa Cruz. So the benefits of this type of policy is just to be consistent with best practices in management and governance, to ensure the entire community is served equally by the council, and to ensure that taxpayer funds are allocated to the greatest need on a citywide basis. And then also it lets the public know that your council is dedicated to serving the entire community. And with that, staff's recommendation is that your council adopt a resolution establishing this citywide governance policy or provide alternative direction, and I'm available for questions.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Erickson, for that. Let me turn to my right, see if there's any questions.
No questions. Thank you.
Any questions to my left?
No questions.
And I didn't have any specific questions. I do have a comment and a potential add after we when we come back for consideration. But let me open this up to the public first and see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on this item. Seeing no one come forward, I'll close it since there's no one on the line either. So we'll bring it back for comment. Any comments?
Yes, thank you. Well, I just want to thank you for bringing this forward. Many of us would think it's just common sense, but I really do believe that it's never a bad thing to get it in writing. And so I really appreciate your forethought on this. So thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Something that always occurs to me with this position is that we're on the Grover Beach City Council. You know, after the November election, I'm not going to be the District 2 City Councilman. I am a Grover Beach City Council person. And that's something that I'm incredibly proud of. I originally ran for the seat for the entire city, and will hopefully, when I run again in my District 2 coming up in November, have the chance to represent the entire city. You know, we spent the better part of a year looking through our city, identifying communities of interest so that every area of our community could have a voice on the council. And that's what we certainly are. But I love that we're going to get this in writing. I love that we have the opportunity to remind everybody that we are a community that is not just made out of districts. It is a full sum. So thank you.
Very good. I definitely appreciate those comments, and I am in support of the resolution. My ask of us is to potentially take this into a something that becomes an action for people who are considering running for office and campaigning. And I'll turn to our city clerk because I don't remember the actual name of it, but I know as part of filing for candidacy, there is a statement of political positivity, for lack of a better term, so perhaps it's the code of ethics acknowledging that and indicating that you're going to run your
campaign fairly.
Gotcha. Okay. So what I'd like to do is, I'd like to as an option give candidates the ability to sign off on this resolution saying, as a candidate, if I'm successful, I will govern in accordance with this resolution. And so folks, as they come forward for candidacy and as they're campaigning throughout the city, they can acknowledge that. And so I don't know if that's something that we add into the resolution. Perhaps I look to the city manager to see how we implement this, or is it just something we provide a level of direction as a candidate option?
I'd probably suggest the latter, that it wouldn't need to be put into the resolution, but just direction from the council, the staff, and how it gets implemented.
Very good. So let me see if there's consensus to provide that direction to staff, if there's any comments.
I'll just confirm that that we are talking about it being a voluntary sign-off, right? Okay, absolutely.
No, I agree. I think that it is a good thing for people to be reminded of or even advised of, because many people, just because we're doing a resolution now doesn't mean that they're going to know about it when they decide to run. So very good. Appreciate it.
Very good. Yeah, so I think my intent with that would be for this to be recurring at each election. So it would, from that perspective, add a little bit of workload to Ms. Sims as she's doing candidate interviews. So with that, is someone ready to make a motion?
I think it's his turn.
I will move that we adopt the resolution establishing a citywide governance policy.
I'll second that.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Miller is absent. Councilmember Robert is absent. Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So, so with that, is staff good with the additional direction to provide that as a voluntary interaction with the city clerk during candidacy interviews?
Yes, sir. We are very equipped for that. We'll build that into our candidate filing materials. And part of the reason for bringing this forward tonight was the filing period opens in a few weeks before the next council meeting. And we felt as staff that this was powerful, common sense policy declaration around the continued governance of the city on a citywide level. I think Governor Rushing spoke well when talked about elected as Grover Beach City Council member. That is still what we would want to see, particularly for new individuals who have not been elected at large, unlike the current council. It's a common sense but important declaration around citywide governance as a hallmark of how we carry out the people's business in Grover Beach. Thank you.
Very good. Definitely appreciate that. So that does conclude work on that item this evening. That'll take us to our council committee reports, as we don't have anybody in the chambers for public comment. Let me turn to Councilmember Rushing for committee reports.
I have none at this time.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Thank you. I did have one meeting, Air Pollution Control District, and there was some good news regarding the PM10 issue, and that is that there are year-over-year reductions in the PM10 ratings. To date, it's a 33.5% improvement, and there will be more detailed information that will come in the fall, and I will certainly report back on that then. So, thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those reports. I did not have any committee assignment reports at this time, so that'll take us to council communications. Who wants to go first?
I have none. Thank you.
Well, considering it is almost 4th of July, I just wanted to wish everyone a happy holiday weekend. Safe and sane, please. Safe and sane fireworks, safe and sane attitude. Let's all have a great time. We'll see you all next month.
Very good. So I did have just a couple council communications, one of which is we as a city have unfortunately received a notice of resignation for one of our planning commissioners, Mr. Long. Chris Long has been a longtime planning commissioner, has also been a Parks and Rec commissioner, then went back onto the planning commission. He has chosen to step off that committee. And so I think the if I remember correctly, our prior direction was that Ms. Rachel Mann was slated to be the person to fill a vacancy for that. I did speak with or text with Ms. Mann today, and she is available and is still interested in doing that. And so I'll turn to the city manager and see. I believe August was the time frame that she was available. Is that a appropriate time frame to bring back her seating as a planning commissioner and to acknowledge Mr. Long?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We believe August 22nd would be a good time to schedule this item to be able to recognize Mr. Long for his service and to bring forward the appointment of Ms. Mann to the council.
Very good. I definitely appreciate that. And so with that, I do also want to acknowledge that there has been a lot of communication and discussion and news reports about PG&E and what may or may not happen with Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. I did receive an email today from the NRC, which I believe we all received as well, about a public forum and then also an opportunity to meet with the NRC in late July. I do intend to participate of that, but let's coordinate with our city manager, Mr. Bronson, to make sure that there's not a majority of us or a quorum of us that plan to attend the non-public section of that. So I just wanted to announce that. And then, yes, wish folks a happy 4th of July and also enjoy the Sizzling Summer Concert Series on the 3rd. Ms. Petker left, otherwise I was going to try and have her remind me and correctly state the artist, because I don't know how to say her name.
She said it to me.
It's Noach Tangaris.
Noach Tangaris. Mm-hmm. I hear she's fabulous, and I'm looking forward to hearing her. Nicely done. So before I do turn it over to our city manager for his reports and comments tonight, I did want to take a moment and kind of acknowledge the moment of silence that we didn't do at the beginning. There's been so much discourse that has been angry and angst-filled and confusing to so many people. I did want to just kind of hope and acknowledge the fact that if we could have a end to that divisiveness on the local, the state, and the national level, I think we as a nation would be stronger and would be an opportunity to breach our difficulties through communication rather than through separatism. And with that, I also do want to acknowledge that opportunity for communication through the fact that we're, as a city, are currently flying the Pride flag, which symbolizes our willingness to acknowledge and accept those similarities and our differences with respect to the colors of the flag, which are which represent sexuality, life, healing, sun, nature, and harmony, as well as the soul. If you go from the top to the bottom, those eight colors do represent more than just colors of the rainbow. So I hope that we all take that to heart, and I wish that we would encourage those and then also acknowledge lives lost throughout each of these processes, whether they be accidents or intentional. So with that, let me turn to our city manager for his reports and comments this evening.
Thank you, Mayor and Council Members. Just a few items to wrap up from staff's end. Just wanted to recognize that this is the end of our fiscal year. Our New Year's Day is coming up this Friday, July 1st. We'll have a full-fledged year-end review coming up in the new fiscal year, looking at our financial status and performance, our goals. But just to say, from a city manager standpoint, it's been a very successful, productive fiscal year where we have achieved a tremendous amount as a community, as an organization. I want to thank the council for your policy leadership. The budget that you just adopted earlier tonight is a strong, balanced budget that has sufficient reserves to ward off financial uncertainties and unforeseen needs and funds key services and projects, and includes a $9 million capital improvement program, including West Grand Avenue improvements, several Measure K-14 street projects, improvements to city facilities, parks, and water and sewer infrastructure. It is a forward-looking budget that continues to improve the city from the ground up and with all the facilities that the community wants to see and expects to see in our city. So I want to recognize the council for your leadership and guidance as we close this year. I also certainly wish everybody a happy 4th of July coming up on Saturday and Monday, with the long weekend, and want everybody to make sure that they are enjoying themselves safely and responsibly and legally as we recognize our independence. And lastly, I'll just say that the South County Chamber of Commerce has a new CEO. It just started today. Her name is Kathy McCory. She comes to this role from the Seattle area, where she was a CEO of a chamber in that community, a neighboring community of Seattle, where we had a chance to meet Ms. McCory a few weeks ago and really enjoyed a chance to talk to her. I think she'll be a great addition to our South County team, and we'll look forward to bringing her to the council at the next council meeting on July 25th for a formal introduction. With that, happy 4th of July, and we will see you in July.
Very good. Thank you for those reports, and happy New Year to the city. And with that, I'll turn it over to our city attorney, see if he has any reports and comments to close out our fiscal year.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Now, other than wishing you all a happy 4th of July, nothing this evening.
Very good. I appreciate that. And with that, we did conclude our closed session earlier, so we have no further action this evening, and we are adjourned.
Plug this in and see if it works, and if it's just minor.
Sure.
I told Simon he's going to try to fix things tomorrow.
Yeah, I just want to. Yeah, it's the whole. I just wanted to see if it's the whole thing or if it's mine. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, really.
Because his isn't working either.
The light's on.
I know. And I was playing with it to see if that would do anything. It's just not. So I'm wondering if that.